Really good to be with you today. Just going to stop and assess your faces for just a moment and kind of absorb who you are. It's really good to be with you. I have felt for some time that I didn't know where God was taking me on my journey, but I was trusting Him to put me somewhere where He wanted me to be, and that was my prayer. Constantly my prayer has been over the last few months, Lord, wherever you want me to be, put me there. And I never did pray for a place to go. The Lord opened up some options. He opened up some church directions that I looked at. I think I sent an email to you that I was invited by four churches to come and work with them. And I said, you know, I'm sorry, but it's just not going to work. And then I came here, and I felt this is where God was saying, I want you to go. Providence sometimes is a very hard thing to see. Sometimes you don't see it. Sometimes it's in retrospect. And then sometimes you can see it while it's happening. You know, in my opinion, it seems to me that I have watched God's providence unfold in bringing your journey and my journey together. And today I feel very blessed to know that I think I stand up here according to the providence of God. I think God wanted us to be together. And that's a strong feeling in me, and I think I have to say it's stronger than it has been in a lot of other churches that I've been a part of. And I appreciate seeing that happen. We'll always say thank you to the providence of God for, you know, what we don't see, and but obviously sometimes when you do see it, it's just a very, very beautiful thing, and it's a good thing. And you've been my prayers, you've been in my prayers for several weeks now, and I feel very blessed to be able to cross paths with you. And my prayer is that God will bless our journeys together. May we glorify the Lord our God. May we walk together as one, as disciples of Jesus Christ. May we bring Him great glory as we all bring Him our hearts and invest in our God. May we all live in a great gratitude and a thankfulness for a Savior that our God has given to us. But I appreciate the invitation to be here with you and to work with you, and I'm looking forward to this work. And you have entered strongly into my prayers. I want to say thank you for those that have already, you know, you're offering love to our family. Some of you are already telling us that you love us, and I appreciate that. You're going to get that back to you. But I appreciate the food that you brought, sickness in our family. Some of you brought food, the help of various ones in helping us to locate a house and to make the move here possible. Some of you have just really gone over the top in helping us. And I would just like to say thank you for that, because it would have been very difficult without you helping us and without you being there for us. So thank you for your brotherhood already. Thank you for your fellow discipleship and your service. And as I said, may we from this point onward, as our journeys come together, may we as a church, bring God the great glory in what we have to do. I'm going to invite you to bow your heads and pray with me for just a moment. Father, we come to you thanking you for your great gift of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for grace, for mercy, for these beautiful concepts, Father, that say that we could not help ourselves, but we needed your help and you helped us. We thank you, Father, for all of your love that you have poured into our hearts. And we know that one of the founding characteristics of who you are truly is your great volume of love, and you have poured it out into our hearts. We thank you for this. I'm grateful for this church, Father, and my prayer is that you will strengthen this church. I thank you, Father, for bringing us together, and I pray that you will help us in our journey to love your truth, to always walk in your truth, to always do those things that are glorifying to you, Father, that truly will bring you praise. Help us to be devoted to one another. Help us to be devoted to you, Father, in totality. Father, we pray that you will be with us in our walk, that in all things, through what every joint supplies, may we, Father, be a church, a body of believers, a family that truly wants to do those things that are right and good according to your will, that we will bring you, Father, the greatest glory. May this be the theme of what we do together. Thank you, Father, for all of your blessings, and bless us in your way. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. It's always a strange feeling when you begin new relationships like this. You know, new faces, new preacher, you know, new voice, new style, things you like, things you don't like. You know, there are all of that comes together, you know, in new relationships. But it's always an adventure, and it's one that I've come to enjoy in getting to know my fellow Christians and learning to work with my fellow Christians. And I'm looking forward to this journey. This morning I'd like for us to just think for a few moments, and let me get my timer out. Since you don't have a clock, which is a good thing, I better keep my timer in front of me or else we'll be 2 hours down the road. I'd like for us to talk about just some foundational things, very basic and very foundational, about, you know, what needs to be what we are all about as a church. You've heard it all before. There's nothing new I'm going to say. You've had great preachers in the past. I'm not going to present something to you that's novel and something very unique. All I'm going to do is remind you, remind us, of the things that we need to be thinking about and doing as we are in this journey of glorifying God in the time, the small time that we have in this life. I might first think about some of the foundations, three or four foundations that need to exist for us to be able to really move forward. And I would like to encourage you as a Christian to think about your own life and these very simple things. You know, is this something that I've kind of lost sight of? Is this something that is powerfully living in my life? Is this something dynamic in me? Is this something kind of that's grown sterile and kind of calloused away from me? Where are these things? And I would like to invite you to truly open your heart to the things of God this morning, for we know the value of truth is that it always speaks to us if we're willing to listen. The value of truth is it will always change us if we're willing to be changed by our God. First of all, let's think about this. The greatest foundation that we can have, and a lot of things we can think about, but one of the greatest foundations that we can have is this: to be a people that truly say it's all about Jesus. It is all about Jesus. Right? It's all about Jesus. Let me see, what's Hebrews about? You've been studying Hebrews. What do we notice this morning? It's all about Jesus. What is that book saying? It is all about Jesus. And if you're giving up Jesus, you're giving up everything. If you want the blessings of God, it's all about Jesus. If you want strength to be strong, to get through your difficulties, it's all about Jesus. If you want a hope of eternal life, it's all about Jesus. That's where the book of Hebrews is going. And we're so thankful that God has given us this awesome book to guide us, to drive us in the direction that we need to go. But, you know, of all the texts we could turn to, and we could turn to many. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2 here, verses 4 through 8. We know that God has supplied some things for us that we can never, never allow ourselves to take for granted. God, who is rich in mercy. God is a God who is rich, rich in His mercy. You know that idea, don't you, of being rich? We all want to be rich, right? Would you like to be rich in mercy over rich in money? God is rich in mercy. You know what that means? It means when God is out to help us, God is not restricted by His little ceiling of mercy. I wish I could help you guys, but I just ran out of funds. You know, I wish you could do more, but I just ran out of power. Sorry, I have to take a nap now. I'm tired. God is rich in mercy. There is no ceiling to His mercy. His mercy will cover whatever our needs are. He is rich in mercy because of His great love. Now, we are just dumbfounded by the love of God. May this ever be a theme among us, the great love of God. We live in the love of God. Great love that removes those ceilings. that great God who says, I will give you whatever mercy that you need. You're a bunch of squirming little babies here that need a lot of help. Denny, I'm going to take you as a squirming baby and I'm going to give you all the mercy I can give you. And it's unlimited in what I can give to you. And I'm going to tell you why I want to do this. I want to do it because I love you. Has God ever told you He loves you? I run into some people that would say, God never said He loved us. He just showed us He loved us. Well, we come back to Scripture. God showed us He loved us in the form of Jesus Christ, didn't He? Did He ever say that He loved you? What's He saying right here? Is He saying it? He is telling you, because of my great love for you, my mercy for you is inexhaustible. We start looking at these beautiful, great things. And so God in His great love with which He loved us when we were dead, He made us alive. And He raised us up together, made us to sit together in the heavenly places. You know, right now you're sitting in a heavenly place. You ever thought about that? You sit in a heavenly place right now. How is that? Are we looking at each other's faces? You know, aren't we in the Kansas City area? Right now, we are in fellowship with our God, are we not? Right now, we are in fellowship with Jesus Christ at the right hand of God. Right now, we are seated in relationship, if you will, with Jesus Christ. Now, we haven't gone to the geography yet, but that is our placement. It is with God, with Jesus. And what He says is He's done this all in Christ Jesus. Book of Hebrews again, right? Come back to Hebrews. It's all about Jesus. That, why has God done all this? In the ages to come, not in the next few hours until He gets tired of us, not in the next 3 months till the relationship wears off, but in the ages to come, that is forever. Perpetuity, as the definition is, in the ages to come, He might show, you know, a little bit of what He has. He might be kind of nice to you, you know. Just watch what you do, and who knows, maybe God will throw you a tidbit, you know, now and then, and you know, Rover can grab it off the floor and eat it a little bit. It'll taste good. You know, you just see these superlatives here. The exceeding riches of His grace in the kindness, His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. And we start to think about God who desires forever, not just to bring us up to heaven, you know, and to put us out on the South 40 somewhere. You know, the old song, just give me an old cabin, you know, on the side of the road up in heaven and I'll be happy. Well, that would be okay if that's what the plan was, but that's not what the plan is. God has a plan that in eternity He wants to give you the exceeding riches of His grace and kindness. So what does a father do when he's kind? What do you fathers do when you're kind to your children? Do you want to give to your children? Do you like that? Grandmas, do you like to give to your grandkids? Why do you like that? Just something you like, right? Boy, it fills you, doesn't it, to give to your grandkids? It's part of who you are. God wants to give us the exceeding riches of His grace with a kind spirit forever. We start thinking about life with God forever. It's not that God has had enough of us and puts us out to pasture after a while. It's not like, you know, God says, Denny, I'm just kind of sick of looking at your face today. I've been looking at it now for 87 million years. Could you go over here for a while? No, the great love of God says, I desire to bless you as long as you exist here. And how long will you exist here? You will exist for the ages to come. This is a relationship that we have with God, and this is what it's all about. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's a four-letter word we use here. What's the word for this? We have a what? We have a hope. Here is our hope. What is all this hope in? Well, let me restate that. What's the tool of our hope? What's the method of our hope? The method is in Christ Jesus, right? Everything's about Jesus. All the hope that I have, I will live forever with a loving God. It's all about what God has done through His Son, Jesus Christ, to make that happen for me. Is that an amen? Yeah, amen. This is what God has done for us. Do we see how huge this is? Now, you haven't grown sterile here, have you? You haven't allowed yourself to not be touched by this anymore, have you? You haven't grown worldly and materialistic, have you? So that this doesn't mean anything to you anymore? What a beautiful thing this is. We are saved in Jesus, and by the grace through His work, we have been saved. It is all about Jesus. You know, one of the things that we have to keep in front of us is the great big umbrella truth of all things is it's all about Jesus in the work that we do together, right? The lives that we lead, it's all about Jesus. The work that we do, it's all about Jesus. The relationship that we have, what's it all about? It's all about Jesus. And Jesus will tie us together. Jesus will create our future because we'll all be purposed in what He wants us to do. And you know what? There's success there. There is victory in following the purposes of Jesus, correct? Okay. So, as we look to, you know, what we do together, and I don't care who the preacher is, I don't care who the church is, or where it might be, this is what must be the theme of every, what are we called? Church of Christ. Which is not a title, it is a description. Every church that belongs to Jesus should truly be all about Jesus. What should be our theme? It should be all about Jesus. Should we ever be ashamed of Jesus? Never ashamed of Jesus. He is my Savior. He is my everything. And I hope that today you will go away with this truth. We're not through yet. But may you go away with this truth. It truly is all about Jesus. With that, then, comes the passion for Jesus, right? Remember in Acts, the second chapter, when Peter stood up and he made that four-point outline, you know, about these individuals that, you know, this Jesus, you killed Him, God raised Him, God has now anointed Him. And he creates this, or he states this truth that has been given by God. And these people then, surprisingly, though they had been involved in the death of Jesus, they respond to what He says. And they decide it's time to obey Jesus. And in that day when they were told what to do, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, after they had been told that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, Lord and Christ, what did they say? Men and brethren, what shall we do? See, they were beginning to get filled with a passion for Jesus. They were beginning to understand what He really meant. And they were beginning to understand this meant that they were going to have to do something with their lives. So on that day, they were baptized. It says they were, then those, verse 41, Acts 2, who gladly received His word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. So here are these people that came to Christ. And we began to see that that's this passion that is what they are all about. And they continue then steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Are they excited? Is this a time of great excitement? Yeah, it is, but not just because of what's happening in the kingdom becoming available to man. It's a time of excitement because people are coming to Jesus Christ and finding what life is all about. Is there any difference between then and now regarding this truth? There is no difference. They were filled with passion about their Savior. They continued steadfastly. They wanted to know the doctrine. Oh, teach us. They continued in the breaking of bread, fellowship, in worship. They just wanted to be with one another. They continued in prayers. Do you get the idea of a passion? Is this the kind of attitude that you and I should have? Okay, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, fellow devotees of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should feel this kind of passion. Now, we want to hear that truth. I just love this truth. I want to continue with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to know their fellowship. And that's bigger than all the things that the world attracts us with. And in America, there are a lot of things to invest our lives in, right? These people were coming to understand what the important things were. And do we see that? They had crucified Jesus. Many of them had just been sterile religious people formerly, but they were coming to know who their Savior was. And they were coming to the great passion in their lives that they knew was everything that their living was all about. Do we understand this? He continues on then. How did this affect them? Now all who believed were together and had all things common. Listen to this. They sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as any had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. That's a beautiful text, isn't it? What does American Christianity do to us? Does it dry us out? Are we too pleased with the absolute minimum? Are we too pleased with I've checked off my little box or whatever my requirement is of what to do to please God? Do you think perhaps that we have forgotten what passion for Jesus Christ is all about? Of course, the next question is that you? Well, it's not me, but it's a lot of other people I know. Is that you? Have you grown sterile by the pull of the world? All the investment of so many other things, the lure of money and savings and having stuff and enjoying your life. Okay, you know what I'm saying? Is this a real temptation? Okay, here's the appeal. This is what we want to be all about. We want to be all about people who have a strong passion for Jesus. We want to be all about being more than what we have been before. We need to realize the temptation of America to lead us into some different form of spirituality that is subpar and far away from God. We need to be people who know our salvation like these people did, who know the grace, absorb the grace, and then feel the difference in their lives, and they feel this great drive, this great initiation deep within, that they will go forth sacrificing for one another, being with one another, praising God. Okay, and I'd like to invite all of us this week to think about where we are and think about what we can be for this church. I'm trying to increase my passion, and I have been for a long time. When I turned 60, I said, even though that's 4 or 5 years from now, or 20 or 30 years, I don't know, whatever it is, but when I turned 60, I asked God, make this the most profitable decade of my life for bringing you glory. And I want that to be true. And so far, I believe that has been true. I want to grow in my passion because I don't have enough. And I plead guilty to being an American Christian that is very happy with a very sterile form of spirituality, wherein our hearts just really are not always, you know, my heart's not always touched like it should be. It's not always led like it should be, not always driven passionately like it should be. Let's pray about that this week, okay? every one of us, praying about where you are, each of us as an individual. Lord, where is my passion level? Have I really brought home the grace of God, the blood of Jesus Christ, and what that really means? Am I really one of those Hebrews disciples who would come then to understand the truths of God and then, at the end of the book, live for my God and even die for my God? Okay. Let's pray about that. Okay, thirdly, if you will, we'll break this first point up into 2 points here. It's all about Jesus, and it's all about passion to Jesus, for Jesus. 2 more very simple things. It's all about truth, isn't it? It's all about truth. What are we doing here if we don't care about truth? What's the use if we don't care about truth? Now, we're living in a time when truth doesn't mean a whole lot, and I mean that very philosophically. I mean that very literally of those who would argue philosophically that you can't really define truth. There is no real truth. Truth does not exist. Of course, we understand that truth does exist. Truth is more than that which is true, of course, but with truth with God, it is His efficient method of working with man that works to solve his problems, that works to bring him to God. This is the salvation truth that God has given to us. You know, Proverbs 23:23 says, buy the truth and sell it not. And you get the idea that we might not be too interested in keeping the truth. Do you know people who are willing to give away the truth for whatever? You know, this is going to cost me some money. I'll give away the truth. This is going to cost me my job. I'm going to give away the truth, you know. This is going to cost me respect with my fellow man. I think I'll give away the truth instead. Buy the truth and don't sell it. Whatever the truth is, always stick with truth. And of course, the truth of God is this great, the pinnacle of it all. John 4:23, the hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. Okay, so God is seeking worshipers. What kind of worshipers? Those that will worship in spirit and in truth. John 17:17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Your word will have its separating effect on people. Let that be done, Jesus prayed for. Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love, may we grow up in all things unto Him who is the head, that is Christ. Speak the truth in love. So if we're not about the truth, what are we about? You know, we used to talk about atlases and maps. You know, what if your map is wrong? Now you have to talk about, you know, your phone app. You know, what if your Google Maps? You know, what if you download an app and every time you use it, it takes you to the wrong place? Anybody ever had that happen? You know, yeah, this isn't what I typed in, you know. It's not exactly accurate. What if your app did that every time you used it, it took you to the wrong place? You know, I just put in here, St. Louis, and it took me to Utah. How long would you be using that app? Be pretty useless. Because it's not true. It doesn't have truth in it. If a map doesn't have truth in it, then what is its value? If we're all about God, but we don't really care about truth, what's the value? It is the truth that's going to make the difference. It is God's truth revealed to us to map out our lives and to help us to map out other lives in teaching that truth. Truth, though, is what we have to stand for, right? If you found out there's a word that goes with truth, that's a very difficult word to practice. It's called courage. It's easy to believe truth and then be too weak to do anything about it. But of what help are we if we're too weak to help people see truth? We need to be about truth, don't we? People of courage to make that truth happen. And then lastly, we need to be about, we need to be about love. I'm already hearing I love yous from you. I like that, you know. You're going to hear it from me. Love. The first part of 1 Corinthians 13:4-8 says, love suffers long and is kind. Those are two great words as umbrellas for the rest of what we see for what love is. You know what love is? Love is not just looking at your grandchild. I know the feeling. I've got two of them. And saying, oh, I'm such a man of love. Think about the love I feel for my grandchild. I have deep love within me. Look, God, how I've grown in love while I'm holding my grandchild, you know. When is true love demonstrated? When it's easy or difficult? The capacity of your love is more greatly tested when it's a hard thing to do to love someone, not when it's easy. Anybody can love easy. Why would we even need a command to love if love was easy and you can love at easy times? But God has given us something else to seek after, to love even when it's difficult. To love even like this, 1 Peter chapter 1:22, you purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren. Love one another fervently, he says, with a pure heart. And you're familiar with the different words. One here is a friendship love, and the other one here is more of the agapao love, where he has now gone the direction of a deeper love. And then he has the word fervently. I want you to love one another fervently with a pure heart. American spirituality goes where? What does it tend to do to us? Dry us out. You know, when we allow ourselves to get our focus off of God, what happens even to our brotherly love? Have you found out what happens in your own heart? If you're not focused on your God, pretty soon you can even dry out with your brothers and sisters, right? Have you ever felt dried out with your brothers and sisters in Christ? It does happen. I sure hope the love of God never dries out with us. But it won't. He says, I want you to love one another so much. I want you to love one another deeply, and I want you to love one another fervently. Turn up the heat on your love. Who here do you not love? Be honest with yourself. You have a face in your mind right now. Right? I have trouble loving that person. You know. Maybe it's not in this church or maybe it's somewhere else, you know. But you know you can. If Jesus said, love your what? Enemies? Can you love your fellow disciples? That sometimes are a little tough to love. Yes, you can. Can you love them fervently like God has loved us and gave His Son passionately for us? Yes, you can love one another fervently. And that needs to be a theme here at Hickman Mills. It needs to be a theme in our journey together, walking with God. We need to have a theme of deep and fervent love one for another. Another sermon here, already running out of time, but Jesus said, John 13, as I have loved you, I want you to love one another. And he just created a great big standard there, didn't he? I don't expect much of you guys. I just want you to love each other as I have loved you. That's all. Okay. I think I have a ways to go here. Yeah, Denny, you really, really do have a ways to go. You know, I mean, God knows where the rest of the journey that needs to be there. But here it is. Jesus says, I want you to have this love one for another. And by this, all men will know that you are my disciples. Because the world doesn't think this way. The world gets to divorce its friends. Don't like that person anymore? Bye. Choose new friends. Right? Do we do that at the church sometimes as well? We can't do that at the church, can we? We're going to love each other. We're going to love each other when it's so difficult to love each other. And we're going to prove our discipleship, that our hearts have become open to one another, not just to, with a cold shoulder, say, okay, well, I'm going to love you, I guess. You know. But to truly love one another fervently from the heart. That's what God is asking us to do, to have the same kind of love that He's had for us. With this, there'll be more. We'll look, Lord willing, in the future, but, you know, An attitude that says, I am for you, because the truth is sometimes we're not for our brethren. We're against them. I sure wish he would leave. Sure wish he wasn't here. I'm so glad so-and-so isn't here, you know. And sometimes we're just not really for someone. We need to tell each other that I love you. When's the last time that you told anybody here that you love each other? That you love them? And now are there people here that you've never told that you love them? Are there people here that you've never shown love to? And you've never taken a moment out of your life in order to show your love for them? You see where we're going here? How much growth we have to do, all of us, in keeping this love intact and growing in our love and realizing there's a larger capacity of love that my heart needs to grow to than I have ever really even understood before. And that's what God is wanting within us. And when we have that kind of love, of course, it becomes a very good experience, doesn't it? But it becomes a very unified force. Forceful thing for creating a unified force of a group of people that move forward in truth and in love, in doing the will of God, bringing praise to God, being there for each other through thick and thin, through battle, through hard times, through bad health, through personal injury, through personality differences. Oops, that's the biggie, isn't it? That's the biggie of all of them. We will love. That's what God wants us to do. I love you. I forgive you. I will stick with you, you know, no matter how difficult the circumstance is. And I'm going to love you more tomorrow than I do today. See, God doesn't have to grow in love. He's pure love. But you and I have to continue to do the journey, don't we? Every day it should be more love. I need to have more love. I'm going to show more love. So-and-so I haven't shown love to, I'm going to check on this person. They've been sick lately. I'm going to show them love. Okay? I haven't told this person lately that I love them. I want you to know that I love you. I've been praying for you. I want you to know that I have shown you the act of love. I've been praying for you the last month. I just want you to know you've been in my heart. I want you to know that I love you. You know what? I want to hear this from you to me. I want every one of you to be telling me you love me. Okay? And you're going to hear from me. That's what we as disciples should be doing. You know what we build when we do this? Showing love, communicating love like our God has. We create, again, that unified force that will work together to be what God wants us to be. So here are some very, very important things that every single one of us needs to work on. Let's think about these things. You know, we need great passion for Jesus, and we need to get that today. Spiritual drive awaits the igniting of your passion for Jesus. You can get driven. Being driven spiritually is not just for those that happen to be born that way. That can be you. Okay, and we can go various stories there we don't have time for, but that can be you, a stronger passion. Truth, do not be ashamed, stand boldly with God and enjoy the righteousness and the walk that comes in walking in truth. It can be a very beautiful thing. Regarding our love, we need love not when it is easy, but when it is even difficult. We need to respond to the difficulties we have with a new and deeper love for one another and discover the deeper capacities of our hearts. Something that's true with all of us is we can all grow more than we have. And we come to discover this about ourselves. But God desires us to focus on the right things. And if we will do these things, we will find ourselves motivated and purified and driven to do the things that God wants us to do in glorifying Him and praising Him. So here's some very, very basic foundations that are very important to what every local church and every disciple needs to be. And we need every link in this chain, every single one of us, to say, these are things I want to go forward with. I need these in my heart. I'm going to grow in these things. And I'm going to be that joint that is supplying, Ephesians 4th chapter, that is supplying the strength and the nourishment to other Christians. And we will make this body grow. And we will make this body desire to share Jesus Christ, to teach Jesus Christ to others. We'll make this body with a strong desire to want to be together. But it depends upon every individual saying, I'm going to ignite myself inside and make it happen. Correct? Yeah, this is life. Well, there is water right here. Maybe you're ready to be baptized. Maybe you have not obeyed Jesus yet. What are you waiting on? I understand the wait. I did it myself for a while until finally I said, this is the day. I've got to do it. Why not make this day that day? This is the day the Lord has made. It's the day that you can today come to your God who created you to live with Him. Why not use this opportunity? Show your faith. Walk forward in your faith. Be baptized into Jesus Christ. Find the remission of your sins and put on the hope of eternal life. If you need to obey the Lord, please use this opportunity and obey Him. As together we stand and as we sing.